CBS News. With the Democratic convention just over 2 weeks away, Senator Kennedy got some indirect support today from some colleagues on the other side of the Capitol. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kennedy wants all delegates to the convention to be free to vote as they wish and not be bound by who won the primary in their states, something the Rules Committee has already voted against. And as Leslie Stahl reports, there may be some burgeoning support for the Kennedy position in the House.
A group of about 35 Democrats in the House of Representatives met to discuss the possibility of urging Jimmy Carter to release his delegates. While no agreement was reached today, the group did appoint a spokesman, Congressman Michael Barnes of Maryland.
It's a serious discussion of members of Congress who are concerned about where our party is going and concerned, obviously, about what that means for the country.
Congressional sources say the Democratic cloakrooms are buzzing with worry over Billy Carter and the latest polls. Meanwhile, at the White House, they are taking these latest developments seriously. Vice President Mondale was assigned the duty of trying to blunt the anti-Carter drive. He made several calls today to Democrats, urging them not to panic, not to jump ship. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
The Office of Professional Responsibility within the Justice Department has opened up an inquiry into statements made by Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti at news conferences yesterday and today about what he communicated to the president about the president's brother, Billy Carter. Civiletti disclosed today that at the end of an informal chat with the president last month, he suggested that Billy Carter was foolish not to register as a foreign agent, adding that there would probably be no prosecution if he did so. The matter of the ties of Billy Carter to Libya and what President Carter knew about them was discussed at a brief meeting today of the special Senate panel appointed to investigate the affair. More news in a minute.
With today's tight job market, you can't afford to sit back and wait for an opportunity to come to you. But you can afford to read the Wall Street Journal National Business Employment Weekly. Every week, the Journal Employment Weekly describes the best career opportunities with top corporations from all over the country. One recent issue carried 32 offerings for attorneys, 50 data processing positions, 19 international opportunities, 26 openings in real estate, plus hundreds of career opportunities in advertising, banking, manufacturing, personnel, sales, and other fields. The Journal Employment Weekly is on sale at your newsstand now. If not yet available in your area, we'll send you the next four issues by first-class mail. Just send a check or money order for $10 to the Journal Employment Weekly, Box 300, Princeton, New Jersey, 08540. That's the Journal Employment Weekly, Box 300, Princeton, New Jersey. From the publishers of the Wall Street Journal, no one has more experience in helping you find a better job.
Ronald Reagan and George Bush came out of strategy sessions in Los Angeles today and held a news conference, Reagan again calling his Republican quest for the presidency a crusade, the candidate predicting also that President Carter would conduct a campaign of personal attacks against him. Both Reagan and Bush said their meetings were harmonious and they expected to work together comfortably, Bush adding that he has no interest in trying to redefine the Constitution, as he put it, in working out the vice presidential role. The Federal Reserve Board has again dropped its discount rate, the fee it charges on loans to member banks, the cut from 11% to 10%. The Fed says that's purely what it calls a technical adjustment to bring the discount rate into alignment with current short-term market interest rates. Those rates have been falling rapidly because of the recession. At the UN General Assembly debate on Palestinian rights, an Iranian representative took the floor, and the U.S. delegation, headed by Ambassador William Vandenhuvel, walked out. Vandenhuvel said that he did it because, as he put it, we owed it to the hostages, and not because of what the Iranians said. The Iranian delegate had suggested the Third World cut off shipments of all strategic raw materials to the U.S. until the U.S. stopped supporting Israel. 9 Americans, 5 women and 4 men, have crossed the treacherous Greenland ice cap on skis, 375 miles on skis. They claim a record time of 35 days. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial is down 8.02, big board volume 36.25 million shares. Now this.
A message from the CBS Television Network.
Whatever the story, wherever the story, Bert Quint knows how to bring it home.
We have not been given any reason why we must go, but apparently go we must.
Let us. At CBS News, we call Bert Quint the fireman because he's best when the heat is on.
The National Guard troops are going back now. It looks as though it's over, at least for the moment.
Good evening. After a strong front.
Hunt, Hite & Company, only on the CBS Evening News.
Weeknights on the CBS Television Network.
When your pet's roundworm friends come rolling along. They'll do your dog or cat wrong. Get Hearts once a month wormer for your pet today, and send those roundworms rolling away.
Don't let your puppy, kitten, dog, or cat suffer with roundworms. Simply add the Hearts once a month wormer to your pet's dinner. Use just once every 30 days, and the Hearts wormer will help keep dangerous roundworms away for good.
Get Hearts once a month wormer for your pet today, and send those roundworms rolling away.
As a protest against the military coup in Bolivia, the United States has halted most economic aid to that country and has pulled out most of its military and diplomatic personnel. Secretary of State Muskie announced the new moves today. They follow an earlier cutoff of all military assistance and new economic aid projects. Reports from Bolivia say resistance to the military takeover has now been quelled and the new government appears to be fully in control. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
87 WHCU, 97 WHCU FM, Ithaca, New York.
Summer camp belongs to blind children, too. These children must look to all of us for the fun and benefits of camping, which is a cherished dream of every child. More than their sighted friends, these youngsters, many of whom have not been blessed with strong bodies, need the sunshine and a summer in the out-of-doors, a summer of swimming, boating, fishing, and hiking. Won't you try to remember them this year? Please send your gift to the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind, 999 Pelham Parkway, Bronx, New York, 10469.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Today, the conclusion of a five-part version of Bulwer Lytton's tremendous book, The Last Days of Pompeii. Our theater of the mind takes advantage of your imagination, inviting you to actually take part in this fatal and total destruction of an ancient city and the annihilation of its people. Lives, loves, and dreams come to life because you will them to life. To you, they are flesh and blood, their deeds and misdeeds as vivid as your neighbors, and their heroisms as inspiring. Stay with us for the last day of Pompeii.
Marcus, we cannot sit here like rats in a trap and do nothing.
What would you have me do, Oriana? Stop Vesuvius?
We must save ourselves so that we can tell this story to others, to our children.
What children? Pompeii is being buried. There will be no more children. That is our fate.
Based on Bulwer Lytton's The Last Days of Pompeii, this adaptation for the Mystery Theater, The Last Day, was written by Gerald Keane and stars Russell Horton and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's your way of looking good.
You're looking good.
Having fun in summer like you should.
Even your hands look terrific with a tan. So make them look even prettier with Avon's Ultra Wear Nail Enamel. It's called Ultra Wear because it seems to stay on forever.
You've got lots of things to do, so we bring Avon.
Where is that clerk?
Can I help you?
We have to see the hotel manager.
Right away.
I'll get him.
And hurry. Oh, John.
It's okay.
Our vacation's ruined.
Don't worry, honey. Please, maybe we can find someone who'll
help. Hi, I'm the hotel manager.
Oh, listen, we've lost our traveler's checks.
All of them. What should we do?
Well, what kind were they?
American Express.
Right. American Express. Come on, I've got their number right here.
You can call for help anytime from anywhere in the country with American Express traveler's checks. Ask for them by name.
Your lung association says smoke's not just your affair. That smoke screen that you puff around pollutes non-smokers' air. It's bad for kids and older folks with lungs not up to par. It's smoke travels far. Your Lung Association says please keep this thought in mind. It's double damage all around and doubly unkind. So try to keep the habit and give everyone a break. Please do it for your life and breath and everybody's sake.
Your Lung Association and you know that cigarettes are a breathing hazard. Smokers, please don't add that extra offense. Give us a break for life and breath. A city at the edge of the Bay of Naples in Italy lies stricken. Terror stalks the streets as Vesuvius, a volcano dormant for 1,000 years, awakens and spits death into the sky. To bring us up to date, let me call upon that young Greek architect, Marcus Aurelius Rufus, who happened to be living on Roman soil in that seaside suburb of Pompeii, that fateful third week in August, 79 A.D., 1,900 years ago.
When death is close, events past do flash before you. As the screams and shouts of those running from Pompeii sounded outside the house of the marble faun, I sat with the girl I'd planned to marry, Oriana, and my blind servant girl Lydia, resigned to the deluge of cinders and ashes and the tide of lava that would soon bury us. Accidents had ruled my life, it seemed. Like the first day I'd met this blind girl. I'd been walking home with an old friend, Diomed, the ship owner.
That chariot is out of control. Diomed, it's coming this way.
We'd better duck into this doorway.
Great Jove, there's a girl crossing the avenue. Doesn't she see it? Look out!
Marcus, what are you doing? Come back here!
Hold on to me, girl. We're going to jump for it.
Oh, that was a close call. What's wrong with you? Didn't you hear me shouting?
You saved my life, sir.
I know I did. I almost lost mine. You're supposed to look when you cross the road.
I'm sorry,
but didn't you see or hear anything? Are you deaf, dumb, and blind?
No, Your Grace. Only blind.
Then, the accident of meeting Oriana. That night, her brother was attacked in the street. I'd driven off the ruffians and helped the young man to his house.
I can't thank you enough for rescuing my brother.
I had no idea his sister was the Oriana.
Is that so extraordinary?
To me, it is. I've wanted to meet you ever since I came to Pompeii from Athens.
Have you? Well, good night. And thank you again, Marcus Rufus.
Your brother was clobbered pretty severely. I'm glad he's gone to lie down, but don't you think you should call the doctor?
No, I don't. I can dress his wounds perfectly well.
You don't mind the sight of blood?
You ask that because I'm a woman.
Well, I suppose I do.
Don't you know, Marcus Rufus, the female of the species is far hardier than the male?
Mm-hmm. In what way?
In all ways. You men may have made war and thrown spears for a longer time than we, but women are still stronger and braver and able to stand more pain.
Tell me more, Oriana.
It's high time today, 79 years after the birth of Christ, for women to feel equal and to stand up for themselves.
Jesus Christ? That revolution?
And about time someone started that revolution. Loving thy neighbor and his other teachings are far more just and powerful than the superstitions Rome and Pompeii live by. Marcus, will you say something?
Sorry, Oriana. I was just remembering how I met you and Lydia.
It was only 5 days ago, Master. It could have been 5 years. So much has happened.
Here we are. Three young people. We've hardly seen life, and we're going to die. There's no use pretending otherwise. How much time have we got to live? 1 hour? 1 day? Even if we went out there on the road and didn't get trampled to death, we'd suffocate. It's black with falling cinders as far as anyone can see. This house, this atrium is our grave.
Master?
Yes, my little blind lady, what is it?
I don't want to die.
Nobody does, Lydia.
Do we have any choice?
Lydia's right. We can't just sit here like rats in a trap and do nothing.
My lovely Oriana, fate brought us together, tore us apart. Fate finally reunited us.
I don't understand you.
My point is, fate makes the decisions, and it is decided that this is the end.
I refuse to believe that, Lydia, you and I were put on this earth merely to accept or sit and console one another. If there is an Almighty, he must expect us to do something.
What, stop Vesuvius?
Save ourselves so that we can tell this story to others. Perhaps there's a reason Pompeii is being destroyed. Perhaps Pompeii has brought it all upon itself. What good are we to the generations to come lying here under the cinders? What good are we to our children?
What children? There will be no more children. This is our fate.
You believe in fate. I believe in God. Both expect a little cooperation. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to breathe.
Let us make a run for it, then. Why not?
Yes, why not, Lydia? I agree. You can only die once. Marcus, what say we try for Herculaneum? There must be one road open. I'm not sitting here in this wreck of a house waiting to die.
Mr. Soriano, there is another way. I know how we can get to the shore from the Via dell'Abbondanza. I know a path that nobody knows.
But
nobody
Lydia,
uses.
Lydia, the shore is on the other side of town.
But don't you see, Marcus, how right Lydia is? Everyone is running north, out of the city. We head the other way, into the city, down past the Forum.
Yes, if we can make it to the shore, we'll find a boat. There must be lots of boats.
Lydia, are you certain that you can lead us through all this blackness?
Without eyes, more easily than either of you.
The three of us together, then.
Not yet. Let me go first, Master, and scout the way. I can get through crowds faster alone. You'd be holding me back. I'll go to each of the roads which can lead us to the path I told you about. Whichever seems to have the fewest people on it, I'll come back here and tell you.
Absolutely not, Lydia. Do you think I'm letting you out there alone? With runaway horses, crazed people, falling buildings?
Marcus is right. Let him go with you to find the best open road. Go on, you two. I'll wait here for you.
Lydia, someone's left the baby here in the doorway.
Oh, little one, where is your mother? Oh, dear little one. No, 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 no.
There's nobody even looking this way. I can't think where the mother is. People are running by. No one's stopping.
Shh, little one, don't cry.
There's a baby here. Can the mother of this baby hear me?
I'm looking for my own children. I haven't got time.
Lydia, we cannot wait here any longer. We must find a way to the shore.
There. It's all right. Oh, I have you in my arms, little thing. No, I won't put you down.
Lydia, please, will you put it down and come?
I am not leaving this child here. Of course not.
But we can't carry it with us. Besides, the mother probably just left it here and went back to her house to fetch something. Now, it'll be all right. Put it back in the doorway.
It's not an it. It's a baby. Master, I'm not going away. I shall wait for the mother.
Lydia, listen to reason, please. Oriana is waiting for us.
Master, I should not refuse you. It is the duty of a slave to obey. But the gods will punish me, I know, if I abandon this small thing.
All right. All right, have it your own way. I'll go on and reconnoiter and come back here for you. Now, you wait here, Lydia. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Go on. Oh, I found my leg. I must have twisted it under me. If I could only turn a little and untwist it. Don't worry, little darling. I'm not going to move. I'm not leaving you. Oh, I can feel your tiny little fist. So sweet. You don't have to worry. Someone will find us. This is what happened to me when I was a little girl. I was left on a doorstep, just like you. And someone found me.
Marcus Aurelius Rufus. Marcus, is that you?
Diomed, where are you going?
Anywhere. Hey, it doesn't matter. Are you with Oriana? Where is she?
Oh, she's waiting for me at her house on the Via dell'Abbondanza.
She's alive.
Oh, yes. I'm looking for a road south. I'm all confused and turned around. Diomed, do you know which way south is?
From here to there. What does it matter?
Diomed, stop that. What's the matter with you? I have to go south to join up with a path to go to the waterfront. Now, which is the best way?
Goodbye, Marcus. Goodbye, Pompey. Any road you take is death.
Diomed, come along with me. I left Lydia in a doorway two streets down, and we're going back to her. She knows her way like a homing pigeon.
Have you seen my baby, kind sir? Would you tell me? Have you seen my baby?
What? Yes, I did. There was a baby. Did you leave your child in a doorway on the Via dell'Abbondanza?
You saw her!
You stupid woman. That child might have... Anything could have happened to it. Diomed, come back here. Diomed!
Where is my baby now?
Come with me.
But I've been to the house where I left her. The house is no more.
What? What did you say?
The house is gone. There's nothing left there but wood and tiles and stones.
Pliny, the Roman author and administrator, was an eyewitness to the eruption of Vesuvius in 79 A.D. He describes it as a cloud like a huge pine tree, shooting up to great height, a tall trunk of fire and smoke with branches of falling cinders. The cloud, sometimes bright, sometimes dark, spotted with earth and rocks. A terrible sight to behold. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Rose, yellow rose.
Kiss my grip!
That's Polly Holiday as the fun-loving Flo, owner of Flo's Yellow Rose. She's joined by her mother and her uptight sister.
Painted woman, prude, hussy, busybody.
Then there's Earl the bartender.
If I knew you better, I'd show you my scores.
If you knew me better, you'd run for your life.
It's fun for all and all for fun. Flo, every Monday night at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on CBS Television.
Hi, I'm Jean Stapleton. If you need information on child care, health care, non-sexist education, abused women, displaced homemakers, legal rights, credit, or any other topic concerning women, write or call the Women's Action Alliance. That's the Women's Action Alliance, 370 Lexington Avenue, New York, New York, 10017. Call 212-532-8330.
Hello, this is James Earl Jones for Social Security. The people at Social Security are concerned that some of you may not be fully aware of the value of the protection you have under Social Security. So let's see if we can make it clear. If you worked long enough in a job covered by Social Security, here's a rundown of the benefits. Monthly retirement checks as early as 62. Higher payments if you delay retiring past 65. Disability checks every month for you and your family if you can't work for a year or more because of a serious accident or illness. Medicare at 65 or at any age if you get Social Security disability benefits for 2 years or if you have a permanent kidney failure. And when you die, your family can get monthly survivor's checks. And one more thing, you can even earn some money and still get monthly Social Security retirement checks. If you're still not sure about the rights and benefits you have, get in touch with any Social Security office. They're listed in the phone book under Social Security Administration.
The tens of thousands in Pompeii who lost everything, most of them their lives, must have, in those final moments, felt betrayed by the goddess protector of their city, Venus. What had they done wrong? Why were the gods punishing them so harshly? Where had they sinned, and how, to deserve this monstrous retribution? And everywhere, on every corner, tragedy upon tragedy.
Right there. Right there. That's where the house was.
Lydia! Lydia, can you hear me?
The house is gone. There's nothing but stone.
Don't panic. Follow me around to the side. Here. The bakery of Modestus. The ovens are built right into the ground. You wait here. I'll get on my hands and knees and crawl through the big oven. It may go underneath the house where you left your baby.
Let me come with you. I must find her.
Stay here. My friend Diomed will take care of you.
He's gone. Your friend is gone. There's no one here.
What? But, Diomed. Diomed, where are you? The man who was with me. Did you see where he went?
He's gone. The baby is somewhere under these stones. Let me go first. I want to go first.
It was hopeless. I couldn't get anyone to help me. Rubble from two houses higher than my head. There was no way of digging out Lydia, the woman, or her baby. The air, every minute, getting thicker and thicker with an avalanche of ashes. I had to get back to Oriana. Somehow, we'd have to find our way to the waterfront if we wanted to survive.
Marcus, why have you been so long? It's been hours. Where's Lydia?
I don't know, Oriana. She may be dead. A building collapsed on her. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, no. You didn't find the way? I thought Lydia was...
Well, we became separated. There was a tiny baby abandoned by its mother. I told Lydia to come along with me. She wouldn't. She would not leave the baby.
That mother must have been desperate to leave an infant alone like that.
Well, they're all buried together now. Lydia was our only hope. Oriana, let's decide.
I've decided. You lead the way, Marcus. Wherever it is, at least we'll be together.
Ashes already knee-deep. In some places, lava was boiling into the houses. Blazing rocks dropping on roofs, setting fires, bouncing into the streets, killing horses, overturning chariots. Citizens gasping, choking, falling into the road like sheaves of wheat. Oriana and I beat off the cinders with our hands. Slowly, carefully, we crossed the town, the forum, out the sea gate, and finally came to the waterfront. Only one building was standing, all stone. The tavern where Diomed and I so often met. We ran inside.
Marcus, there's a man drinking at a table in the corner.
Diomed, I can't believe it. What are you doing?
Having myself a cup of wine. Sit, 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 all of you. Oh, Soriana, welcome. We met once in the Imperial Box at the Gladiatorial Games. I don't know whether you remember.
Dear Med, why didn't you stay with us?
Your little blind slave showed me the way back to my boats.
Lydia! Lydia's here!
I had to say farewell to my boats. My galleys are sunk. My warehouses are on fire.
Dear, try to make sense. Listen to me. Where is Lydia?
Lydia?
You say she brought you here. Now, where is she?
Master, is that your voice?
Lydia? Lydia, look at you. Your leg. What happened to it?
It will be all right, Master. Mistress Oriana, is that you?
Oh, my sweet Lydia. Never mind. You're safe. Marcus told me about you and that baby.
The gods were with me. I managed to crawl up with the baby. safely. Oh. And the mother came and took her.
As welcome to the end of the world, my friend.
Dear Matt, there is no time. Now, where are your boats?
I leave life with a taste of grape on my lips.
Mariana, I've never seen him like this. Your daughter, Julia, your wife, are they safe?
They are dead, Marcus. Both dead. When I reached my house, I went down to the cellar. Death had arrived before I did. There they were. My two ladies sitting, waiting for me, asphyxiated by the fumes.
Oh, dear, dear Med, I'm so sorry to hear of your great loss.
Well, my dear Oriana, I'm glad you and Marcus are alive together. So, tell me, Marcus, what did we struggle for, huh? You, an architect building houses, me with my ships to bring food to people. The giant mountain we thought was asleep. It woke up and reached out with flames, and all our houses and our ships are gone in smoke.
But we must live, dear Med. There's still time to do something.
Yes, but is it worth the effort? Before old Vesuvius is done, he will have dug all our graves and buried all of Pompeii. So, let us fill our cups with wine and drink to an honorable death.
I refuse to drink to death.
Lydia.
Master Diomed, I didn't lead you out of the city to hear you speak like this.
Lydia's right.
Diomed, what would your wife and daughter say if they heard you giving up?
Yes, forgive me. Forgive me, all of you.
It's agreed, then. We take to the water.
Yes. I have four sailboats riding at anchor, not 50 yards from here.
One of them surely must be seaworthy.
Yes. The child is right. Now, one for four of us. We'll sail as far as the winds will take us.
We ran outside. Only two of Diomed's sailboats were seaworthy. The other two charred wrecks. We chose the larger. Flaming rocks dropped around us as if launched from an enemy catapult. Diomed took the oars, Oriana the tiller. I untied the rope, pushed us off, and jumped in. You have a second pair of oars, Diomed?
Yes. Stowed away with the provisions. We each take one of these. I'll move over. Come on, you take the left oar. There.
Why don't we hoist sail? We'd move faster.
No. There are too many flaming stones and burning cinders that would set our sail on fire. Now, first we'll row as fast as we can out of the danger area, and then up with the sails.
Oriana, set your course to the mouth of the Arno, then turn into the bay from Vesuvius.
Ahoy there! Hello!
Who is that on shore calling to us?
I can barely see someone waving from the wharf.
Well, we're not that far.
He looks familiar, but with all that black smoke and that curtain of cinders, I can't make him out.
Show your hands and we fall!
What?
Oars! I need oars! There's a boat here with no oars!
Diomed, do you have any spare oars?
Yes, we have. Perhaps we should turn back and give them to the man.
It's Arbaces, the Egyptian priest.
Lydia, how can you tell?
By his voice.
If it is Arbaces, let him burn for his sins. Are you Arbaces?
Yes, I am. Can you hurry? The fires are getting very close.
I'm happy to hear it. Diomed, let's pick up speed.
Just a moment.
I'm certainly not helping that man live one moment longer.
Take your oar out of the water, Marcus, like I'm doing.
What for?
We are going to turn back.
No, what do you expect of me? That man almost ruined my life.
If someone needs help, I don't care who he is or what he has done. Say what you will. He is human.
I dispute that. He's a monster.
Let his sins be on his head, not mine. How do I know what God in what boat in what heaven may at this very moment be judging me? And if I need a pair of oars to steer me clear, perhaps he will refuse me. I don't care what he's done. Arbaces is a human being, and I am going to help him, Marcus. Oriana, turn the tiller as far as she'll go. We're heading back to the dock. Ease up on your arm, Marcus. Now, here, backwater with me. Here, hold her steady, Oriana. Now, when we're alongside, I want you to hand the spares to our bases. You'll be closest to him.
As long as I don't have to be any closer than a 10-foot oar.
Yes, very good of you to come back.
Goodness had nothing to do with it.
Catch hold of the stern, will you?
Got it.
There's one oar, Oriana.
All right.
Got it. I thank you.
And here's the second.
Well, thank you a second time. Dear Med, I take it that skiff over there is yours.
Help yourself. It'll be firewood if it's left there.
Quite a few large sacks you're carrying, our bases.
Yes, as many as I could handle.
Could they be gold?
Let us say they are all my worldly possessions, except one. And I think I shall avail myself of that right now.
What are you doing? Let go of me!
I did, Oriana. I am merely lifting you out of the boat.
Put me down. Let go of me.
Our bases, let go of her. If you don't release Oriana this instant, I'll kill you.
Marcus, if you so much as move 1 millimeter from that seat in the boat, just one, I am warning you, your Oriana will feel my hands tighten about her throat.
Marcus, keep talking to him. He can't really see us now. Now there's a curtain of black cinders covering the dock. Start rowing.
Marcus, very wise of you. Take my advice and row away. Oriana is safe with me.
We shall do as you say, our bases. Row with me. Row, I say.
Marcus, come back.
It's going to be all right, Marcus. Keep rowing slowly.
What are we doing? Why are we rowing away?
To distract him. Now, take a good look over there in the water. It is Lydia.
She's swimming through the waves like a fish.
It's more like a champion from Olympia.
Help me!
What is she going to do? What can she do?
To rescue Oriana needs surprise. Now, I suspect Lydia has a plan, and I think it will work.
Author Bulwer Lytton tells us those who ran home and tried to rescue their belongings lost their lives. The remains of Pompeii attest to bodies that fell with bags of jewelry, silver and gold, frozen in their flight. Those who made for the shore had a chance to survive. Will Oriana be an exception? What is to be her fate? More, much more, when I return shortly with Act 3.
Doing it yourself can save you a lot of money, and with a rebate from Black & Decker, you can save even more. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you, when you buy a single or dual height workmate from True Value Hardware Stores, you can get a $5 or $15 rebate direct from Black & Decker. The versatile Workmate is a portable work center, vise, and sawhorse all-in-one that folds flat so you can carry the Workmate to the work. Buy the Workmate Model 79003 single height kit from True Value Hardware Stores and get a $5 rebate direct from Black & Decker. Or buy the fully assembled deluxe dual height Workmate Model 79001 and get $15 back. Take advantage of the Black & Decker rebate offer before September 27th. Get details at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers. And remember, you can save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for values, for service, and for selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware stores and home centers located nationwide, and tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Hello, this is Thomas Edison. I'm here to shed a little light on a subject most people are unaware of: the financial problem facing higher education in this country. You see, inflation is hurting our colleges. Every year, they're forced to spend millions of extra dollars on basic necessities like maintenance, heating, and my specialty, lighting, which means they have less and less money to spend on engineering, science, and history. Why, the day could come when the most creative thinking happening at colleges is figuring out how to pay for light bulbs. That's why our colleges are desperately in need of your support. And I'm not inventing that. Tuition doesn't begin to cover a college's operating costs. So please be generous. The money you give will make everyone's future brighter.
Help. Give to the college of your choice.
A public service message of this station, the Advertising Council, and the Council for Financial Aid to Education.
A small boat with two men at the oars, refugees from the burning city of Pompeii, drifts offshore. The beautiful Oriana is being held against her will by an Egyptian priest. He is mad, no doubt. But how does one deal with a madman? Unseen, Lydia, the blind girl, climbs slowly, hand over hand, up onto the dock where Oriana is being held captive.
Stop struggling, Oriana.
No.
You'll never get back into that boat. They have deserted you.
I won't go with you. I won't.
Oh, my legs. Oh, you've broken them.
Mister, dive into the water. Follow me.
Oh, my legs.
Lydia, what did you do?
May the gods forgive me, but I could not let him take you from me.
I can see him still. Up there on the dock, doubled over. What did you do to him?
Mr. Soriano, will you take the lead toward the boat, and I'll follow your voice?
Soriano! Lydia! Over this way!
I'll be your eyes, Lydia. We're almost half to the boat now. What did you do? Jump in and swim for the dock?
It was Diomed's plan.
How could you know exactly where I was standing?
The Egyptian's voice guided me to you. When I climbed out of the water, I went for the dock, felt my way to one of the oars lying there, heard his voice again, and cracked him as hard as I could across the legs.
Oh, Lydia, you are the miracle girl of all time. If we come out of this alive, it will be thanks to you.
Oriana! Lydia! Marcus, take both oars.
Swim to Diomed's voice, Lydia.
I can hear it. I'm all right.
Here, yes, and now, here, I've got you by both wrists, Lydia. You're safe now. As soon as I pull Lydia into the boat, you're next, Oriana. You're not cold, the two of you, huh?
Cold? Vesuvius has made the entire bay a bath of hot water.
With Oriana and Lydia safe in the stern, Diomed and I rowed as fast as we could, zigzagging across the bay to avoid the falling ashes. At last, we were out of range of the black, burning death. The moon appeared. We dropped anchor.
It's hard to believe we have left all that behind us.
Lydia, there are no words to thank you. For Oriana and myself, you've always been our deliverer, our daughter of the gods.
Such a beautiful city. And for it to end so horribly with such ugliness.
Judgment Day.
But why were we being judged?
Men like that Egyptian, hiding his sins behind the cloth of priesthood.
What makes a man turn so? When I first knew him, Marcus, I was 16. Believe me, he was a good man. He was so sincere.
Oriana, I have one thing on my conscience. I did tell you when I reached my house, I found my daughter, Julia, and my wife dead.
Diomed, don't go into that again. I know it's so painful for you.
Well, Julia was alive. Barely alive. I took her in my arms and she said, "Father, can you forgive me?" And then she told me, "You remember the party I gave to celebrate the partnership of Marcus and me? When something seemed to madden him and he rushed out of my house with our bases and your brother after him?"
"Yes,
I remember."
"It was my daughter Julia who placed a dangerous potion in your wine cup, Marcus. She confessed it to me."
"Julia? But why?"
"She had obtained it from that Egyptian. She hadn't intended anything evil. She was jealous of you, Oriana, and hoped to cause trouble or a scandal. But Arbaces used Marcus' temporary madness to kill your brother. Now it is out. We shall not mention that creature's name again, or even think about him.
Well, I have a happier thought. Lydia?
Yes?
What do you suppose I've been thinking?
I don't know.
Romans are permitted to make free their slaves. I'm sure no one will mind if an Athenian like myself does the same. Lydia, from this moment, you are no one's servant, no one's slave. I shall endow you with sufficient money so you may be independent. Study if you wish, learn and be free. It's a small reward, my dear Lydia, for your constant faithfulness.
And my life, which I also owe you.
Well, since we're remaining at anchor till dawn, I'd like to get a little sleep. Any objections?
Certainly not. We'll take turns. Marcus, you and Diomed sleep first. We've got a great deal of sailing to do tomorrow, and Lydia and I will keep watch till dawn.
You women? I don't know. But not till dawn.
Marcus, aren't we equal in all things? Aren't you convinced?
You win. It's your watch. I'd rather take a nap than lose another argument.
Mistress Oriana, are they asleep?
I think so.
Mistress, what does it look like out there? I can hear the water. It's so quiet. Could you describe it for me?
Well, you're right. The bay is quiet. Waves gentle, back and forth, like a cradle, you know. That soft, slow motion of a cradle rocked by a mother.
We had no cradle in my home for me.
But your mother must have held you in her arms.
I was an abandoned baby. Perhaps that's why I could never see.
Oh, Lydia, I say to myself every day, why should such a lovely girl as you be so afflicted?
We all have things we don't wish to think about, Mistress. That is mine.
You must not call me Mistress anymore. You're a free woman now.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Hello! I need help!
There's someone out there in the water calling.
I can hear, but I can't see them.
Should we pull up anchor and row to them?
No, better not. I hate to wake Marcus and Diomed when they're so exhausted.
Hello!
Hello! Are you all right?
My boat capsized!
Can we help?
I'm paddling with one oar. I'm trying to find you in this pitch black and get closer.
Arbaces!
Oriana, it seems fate won't allow us to be separated.
Master! Marcus, please! Wake up!
What is it?
The Egyptian!
Ah, our old friend. What do you want, Arbaces?
I want to come aboard. I don't know how much longer this wreck will stay afloat.
We have no room for you here.
Perhaps I can persuade you.
Diomed, grab your oar. Let's row.
He's got a spear.
Do I come aboard? I won't hesitate to bring this javelin down right where you're sitting,
you murderer!
Let me help you pull that anchor, Lydia.
Diomed, shove your oar up against his hull and give it a good heave.
I can't get the oar out of the oarlock.
He missed us. He brought down that javelin right through his own boat. He's sinking.
Seconds later, we were rowing away from this evil man as fast as we could. Did he hang on to what was left of his sinking craft? We never found out. Greed and anger had cast him adrift and sunk him. I've no doubt the bags of gold he had stolen had capsized him. His fate was no longer in his own hands, but in the hands of the gods. We dropped anchor further out. The women kept watch.
It's a long night keeping watch.
Especially when two people have only one set of eyes.
Oh, but for you just to be here, it's very reassuring, Lydia.
Mistress Oriana, tell me more of what you can see?
Vesuvius is still glowing. But the pillar of fire and smoke is no more. If I didn't know of the horror it had caused, I would think it was the friendly lamp of a lighthouse.
What is a lighthouse?
Oh, a building with a light that shines over the water to welcome ships at night in all kinds of weather.
Mistress, I would like to be a lighthouse for people.
Lydia, no more mistress, plain Oriana. Oh. You're a free woman. You're like me.
I am not like you. You with your two eyes.
Oh, hush, Lydia.
What good is my freedom? Freedom to be alone? You asked me once, was I jealous? I don't know. You asked me, was it Marcus? How I love to say that name. Yes, it is he. Not Master Marcus anymore. Though he could be my master for the rest of my life.
Oh, sweet little Lydia, don't carry on so.
Oh, yes, don't, Lydia. Don't this, don't that. How can I stop my feelings? Yes, I am jealous of you, Oriana. Twice I have saved him, saved his life. All right, small return for what he's done for me. But it's hopeless, isn't it? Isn't it?
I told you once, someday the right man will appear for you.
He has. But he's not for me.
I think Diomed is waking up.
What is the hour? Not dawn yet, eh? Oriana, come over here and get your rest beside Marcus. I will keep watch. I shall sit myself up here beside little Lydia, and we shall keep the watch together.
When I awoke, it was dawn. The sky clear. Oriana was asleep, her head resting on my lap. Diomed sprawled across the tiller, also fast asleep. But Lydia, where was she? Diomed?
Huh?
Oh, Oriana, wake up.
What is it?
We're drifting.
What? Drifting?
Where is Lydia?
What? Lydia?
What? Could I have dreamed it?
Dreamed what? Oriana, look all around you. She must be out there somewhere.
What were you dreaming, Diomed?
That I saw Lydia get up and move quietly, slowly, to where you were sleeping, Marcus. For a long time, she looked down at you. And then she bent forward.
Yes? And?
But it's so strange. It is hard for me to believe it happened. If it did, then she bent forward and kissed you and then stood back with a little movement of her hand. It was almost as if she was waving goodbye to you. Then, if I was awake, well, I must have dropped off back to sleep.
We must look for her. Everywhere we must find her.
I think she went overboard and swam ashore.
But why? Where? Back to Pompeii, to Herculaneum, to burnt-out cities? What life for her there?
Lydia is too good a swimmer not to have made it ashore.
In these currents at night? At some distance, the water thrashing about because of Vesuvius. Look how far from land we've drifted.
Marcus, look here. The anchor. The chain is here, but not the anchor. Where is it?
In vain, we searched the bay for miles around. There was no sign of her. We dreaded to think what she must have done. Tied herself to the anchor and disappeared forever. There is always the hope, of course, that our sweet Lydia, once a slave, lives somewhere. But so far as we know, our beloved friend never lived to enjoy one day of her new freedom.
The sailboat that escaped Pompeii with four passengers arrived on a far shore with three. Life went on. Diomed rebuilt his shipping empire, Marcus and Oriana did marry, and yet, as Marcus says in the book, my mind has never shaken off the dark shadow of the last day of Pompeii. The horror and desolation of that awful ruin and the mystery of the disappearance of our beloved blind daughter of the gods. I shall be back shortly.
A message from the CBS Television Network.
Whatever the story, wherever the story, Bert Quint knows how to bring it home.
We have not been given any reason why we must go, but apparently go we must.
Let us.
At CBS News, we call Bert Quint the fireman because he's best when the heat is on.
The National Guard troops are going back now. It looks as though it's over, at least for the moment.
Good evening. After strong front fight and company, only on the CBS Evening News.
Weeknights on the CBS Television Network.
Would you give your employees a day off to learn to save a life? Andy Maychek of Warren, Ohio is sure glad his company did. The day Andy got caught in heavy machinery at the plant, his breathing stopped and so did his heart. But thanks to a fellow employee's Red Cross CPR training, Andy's life was saved. How about you? Won't you call your Red Cross chapter and find out about CPR training for your plant or office? Come on, give your employees a day off to help keep Red Cross ready.
Author Bulwer Lytton tells us in his preface, he will be pleased if this story, whatever its imperfections, should be found a portrait not altogether unfaithful to the age. And what is far more important, he says, may it be a just representation of the human passions and the human heart, which in all ages are the same. It is with this in mind that Mystery Theater has unearthed Pompeii for you, not as a buried city, but as a buried treasure. Our cast included Russell Horton, Marion Seldes, Evie Juster, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, what about the Indian?
If you ask me, the Indian knows already.
How could he know?
I think it's obvious to almost everyone except your husband.
Walter, why did you agree to come on the trip? If he'd gone alone, we could have had such a good time by ourselves at home.
How can you even ask, Ruth? You know I'm completely dependent on his sponsorship.
I know. And I hate it. Well, maybe.
Maybe what? I need his recommendation for the teaching post, and that's all there is to it.
If you had a ton of gold, you wouldn't have to teach, would you?
No. I would say not.
And if I had a ton of gold, I wouldn't have to be his wife either.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WHCU, WHCU-FM, Ithaca, New York.
Larry Thayer has declared war on inflation and war on warm weather, too. Today, while it's hot, check Thayer's inflation-fighting prices on Frigidaire air conditioners. Save up to $125 on Frigidaire models from 5,000 to 20,000 BTU. Larry Thayer's war on inflation helps you fight the heat, too. Thayer Appliance Centers, Ithaca and Cortland. Cool off now.
Being visually impaired does not have to mean a lifetime of dependency. There are instructional programs available to train the visually handicapped to function as independently as possible. You can learn how to do your own household and personal chores and how to get around better. To find out what services are available to you, simply call the Information and Referral Service for the Visually Handicapped. The phone number is 272-9411. The Information and Referral Service for the Visually Handicapped, 272-9411.